Okay, so here we are for the Tobin podcast, episode 2. Today we are going to talk about all things Apple. But before I do, just a reminder, I'm here, I'm Mike, and my son... You ass. My son Nelson. And so, you know, we have different views on things, and we also clearly have different control over our nasal cavities.
I thought we're going to restart.
We're going to start talking about Apple, and Nelson and I are both Apple iPhone users, and I've had pretty much every Apple since I converted from the old HTCs back in the day, and I've kind of regretted it. I must admit, I felt that I'm now sucked into some sort of gang that you can't get out of, and it feels really claustrophobic, I think. But anyway, we're gonna go and try and look at the pros and cons. So I recently upgraded from an Apple iPhone 8, the large screen version, to an X, and I was massively underwhelmed. Not only was it so expensive, but it was significantly worse, I think, than the 8 was. In particular, the camera quality. You know, and I gave my old 8 to my wife, Shalina, and she loves the camera on the 8. And quite frankly, the 10 was a massive step backwards. I mean, have you got a 10 now, Nels?
No, I've got a 7 Plus.
You've got a 7?
A 7 Plus.
Well, even your camera is better than the 10.
I think it's the same.
No, it's just, really, the 10 is a step backwards.
Yeah.
10 is a step backwards. But I think the 7 and the 8, I didn't really see much difference in those two.
Well, to be honest, like the only big difference was there's a glass back on the 8 now because they put in an NFC chip, which allows for wireless charging. But like, pretty much the 7 is just an 8 without wireless charging. They really did nothing in terms of like, you know, networking, storage, like everything was pretty much the same, just adding in wireless charging for an extra watt, like £300. I think the price differences currently between the 7 and the 8, is it really worth it?
Well, you talk about value, but I mean, you know, I had the X, and then I upgraded just last week to the XS Max, right, which now basically looks like the old 8. Except that I can't use any of my old sort of covers on it because the camera is slightly, it's in the opposite angle.
That.
Yeah, so if you look at the camera on this, on the XS Max, it's kind of in a vertical fashion.
Yeah.
Whereas in the 8, it's on a horizontal
fashion.
Can't use any of the old sort of bits and pieces that you bought for them. And I think Apple does this on purpose, don't you think so?
Well, to be honest, I think it's because like, I'm underwhelmed, you were underwhelmed by the difference between the 7 Plus and the 8, correct?
Yep.
You were underwhelmed.
Yep.
And I think there's a big factor of that is to do with the look of the phone. Like, people can pretend what they care about is the specs and all of that, but at the end of the day, there's always that child's mentality in your mind that's like, I want to get a cool looking phone, you know? I want to get something that looks cool. And like, that's why they change it. I think it's one of the things that they do well, actually, and that isn't a sort of, you know, potential scam from Apple, is the fact that they do like constantly change the look of the iPhones. And I personally actually appreciate that over the fact that like brands like Samsung, the S3 looks really, really similar to the S8 and even further on. And the S3 was from the same period of the iPhone 4. So.
Cool. But I guess it is a little bit cosmetic, right? I
mean, yeah.
Everyone, and trend, I suppose, rather than cosmetic. Everyone wants to be seen with the latest iPhone.
Yeah.
So if you don't change the shape of it, no one now knows that you've got the latest one. So you know, you can sort of wander around on the tube, and no one's going to nick it because I don't think it's the latest one. It looks like the old version.
Well, man, if I'm in the position to nick a phone, I'm whichever phone
well,
it is.
You know, I'm looking at it as the Nicky as opposed to the Nicker, right? I'm not the Nicker of it.
Well, stop looking at Nickers, and we can carry on.
Steady on. Right. Okay, so look. I mean, so anyway, so I think the camera in the SX Max has improved significantly. That is now back to the quality that the 8 had, right? So you've now, it's like 1400 pounds plus.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, this is, you know, $2,000 for something that just about gets you back to the spec of the version before the last version. And that really is disappointing. I don't see any improvement in performance. I don't see any improvement in kind of, okay, I see a little bit of improvement in screen quality, but barely anything.
Well, to be honest, like, the iPhone X like features an OLED screen, and I think that's one of the best like improvements Apple have made in the last 2-3 years.
But I mean screen quality isn't materially better on the X versus
if listeners at home have an iPhone X or an XR or an XS, if you look at your phone and if you search up the image, if you go on Google Images and you search up the color black, what you'll see is that the pixels look very, very organic. Well, that's what OLED stands for. It's organic LEDs. Like, you look at it and you can't even tell the screen is actually on if you just look at the black.
What do you mean organic?
So I'll explain the difference. I'll explain the difference to you.
Does it look like Earth or food or something?
No. So the way a regular LED screen works, I'm not a massive engineer, but I do know roughly how it works. So pretty much it's like if you were to imagine all the single LEDs are there, but then there's a backing light behind it. So when a regular, for example, when a TV is on and part of it is black, like for example when you've got the black bars and you're watching a movie or something, those black bars, you can tell the TV is still on because the light is actually seeping out from the pixels that are turned on further up, because it's kind of one whole unit backing all the things. So it's going to seep out and very, very slightly illuminate the black. Whereas what organic LED does, OLED, to put it simply, each LED has an individual backing light. So effectively what it means is that if that LED is off, or if it's showing black, it's going to show black. And like a good way to see this is, for example, right here I have a non-OLED phone in my hand and a regular OLED phone, and when you look at this one from the side, you can still see all the lettering clearly even though it's from the side,
right?
Whereas with this, that's a big text, but there, as you look at it from the side, it changes.
Yeah,
and that's
I get that, right? But how often do I look at my phone from a real very side angle?
That's an obvious way to show improvement,
right?
But what it does is it shows improvement. You know, okay, it shows that Apple aren't just like, at least in this aspect, like sitting on their asses and just charging us $500 for something.
I mean, back in the day, you used to think that Apple was something that, you know, stood for innovation, and but I'm not so sure it does really.
Steve Jobs era.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of now. You know, they weren't the first ones. You know, they're not leaders in the field of storage, right? So
yeah,
you know, you end up with, you know, I take loads of photos and end up with these storage full messages all the bloody time. And you know, if you have a Google phone, right, it's limitless storage, free of charge, right? Mm-hmm. So you never ever get a message on your phone saying you can't store the picture you've just taken, tough luck, right? So and then they, you know, they're trying to catch up on that, and now you have to pay for storage, and it's still, you know, they're still not there. And then you know, charging, the NFC charging solution that they have, well, you know, that's been around for ages before they introduced it, so they're catching up on that too. And then on the water resistance, I mean, it's only the recent ones that actually are water resistant compared to the competition. Like Samsung's been water resistant probably three generations before Apple, and I don't understand why we think about Apple as being so, you know, sort of innovative, quite frankly, because they're always playing catch up on the competition.
Well, so personally, I think it's because what you said at the start of that was, you said, oh yeah, it used to seem like Apple were all about change and all about really going forwards and like exercising the limits of what we can do technologically as a race. Well, I think that was adamant in Apple's principles when Steve Jobs was still CEO before he died. And I think a great way to see this is you look at the iPhone 3GS and you look at the iPhone 4. At the time, like the iPhone 4, if you were to take into account the materials we had available to us and the information we had, the iPhone 4 was probably the best smartphone the world has ever seen in relation to the current situation of the world. And that was the last iPhone that really had a statement from Steve Jobs, because he died halfway through the making of the iPhone 5. And I think back then the iPhone 4 was much further ahead of Samsung and all of that. And then as soon as Steve Jobs obviously leaves Apple, the iPhone 5 is just literally an iPhone 4 with the screen made a little bit longer. It wasn't even made like wider, just a bit longer. And like people, this was the first indication of just kind of a lack of ambition is what people first thought it was. Because like people just thought, you know, no Steve Jobs there, they're just going to kind of half-ass it. But now what we realize is that Apple have worked off their base foundation and are able to just sell us whatever they want with the knowledge that it's going to sell really well. I mean, look at the iPhone 5C. iPhone 5C was an iPhone 4, no improvements on it, but it was made out of plastic. So it's actually worse than the iPhone 4, except the screen is a tiny bit longer. It was basically a souped-up iPod Touch. However, it sold massively at first because, it's got different colours. Now, obviously, that can go back to my point about cosmetics, but also it just shows that, like, Apple can just sell whatever they want and people will buy it. The Apple Pencil, for example. This came out charging, I think it was £120 when it first came out, £129.99, I think it was, yeah? And it sold massively because it's an Apple product that people didn't see coming. So they're going to be like, let me try that. You know, Apple made a collaboration with Oral-B, made an Apple toothbrush. If you don't believe me, it's still actually listed on Apple's website. Under the products tab. I think it's Colgate or Oral-B. Actually, I think it's Colgate. And pretty much it's £200 or $200. And it just tracks how much of your mouth you've brushed.
Because like you don't know, right?
Because not your mouth. Because up until the 2010s, everyone had rotten teeth past the age of 30.
So. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So savior of the world, Apple again.
Exactly, yeah.
Has charged us £200 to tell us when we've done enough brushing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a light on my toothbrush. Right? When I press too hard, it just shines. And it says, you're pressing too hard. I mean, Apple would then send me a message and probably inject me with some serum to stop me brushing at that point.
I've got a natural light. It just shows that when my teeth are too yellow, it means I'm not brushing enough. If they're not, it means I'm doing the right amount.
Fair point. So I mean, and you mentioned colours there, right? Yeah. I mean, they come up with these rubbish colours. I mean, at the moment, they've all kind of gone back to standardising on sort of black and gold and silver again. Is that because everyone's just fed up of having stupid colours? But to be fair, Apple's not alone in this, right? So Samsung does it as well. They have these like slightly dodgy blues. And
yeah, well, I think look at the way Google Pixel just recently took the piss out of it. I think that kind of, that it's a nice breath of fresh air because like all these companies, see, these tech companies are going to do one of two things. They're either going to follow Apple or they're going to completely go the opposite direction and attempt to criticise it and go over that kind of mainstream criticism. And what most of them did was follow Apple into, you know, doing jet black, quartz blue, or submarine blue, something like that. Like, I mean, I made up two of those, but like, if
it sounded good to me, it probably could have been an Apple product.
100% could have been. So it's nice to see a company like Google releasing the Pixel and just taking the piss with the very silver and the quite white and the extremely black.
And I guess we're the twits in the end of the day, right? We're the idiots because we're paying for this crap. And you know, obviously, Apple is doing a lot right, because you know they're a trillion dollar company. So you know, $1 trillion company today, there's only a couple of them. I think it's what, Amazon and Apple are the only two that are $1 trillion.
I'm not
right
even
now.
Sure if Amazon will.
Yeah, I think they both passed it, but only just. But it's ridiculous that, you know, all this money comes from our naivety ultimately, yeah. Right? And I saw a graphic view of all of Apple's products laid out on a floor, and 3/4 of the floor was covered in different cables and adapters.
Is that true?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so you know, you get, not only do you get a new product,
yep,
but you suddenly realize everything you've bought, all your accessories, all your adapters, everything that you bought for the previous one doesn't fit anymore.
Mm.
Right, so you know, if you use at the moment, I'm using this headset to record this, plugging it into my iPhone. Well, I have to use an adapter for that, because normal headphone technology doesn't fit in anymore. You've
yep.
got this unique connector, and then you know, you've got the you get a pair of these wireless earphones with your new iPhone, but you know, with a little adapter with it, and if you lose the adapter, which is about 2 inches long.
Oh, you mean the lightning?
£15.
The lightning, right?
And
earphones, yeah.
And if you want something that doesn't use that, then they say, well, you've got to buy these Apple AirPods or whatever they're
AirPods.
Called.
Well, to be honest, like, I'm going to have to admit, I disagree with you.
What?
So
you have to buy AirPods?
No, I disagree with your like premise about the cables, and I think it's a big one with Apple. Like, loads of people love to criticize the cables. I think there's only one exception. The MacBooks are the exception, because there was no problem. So I have a 2016 MacBook Air that I use. And you know that little squarish one?
Yeah, the little magnetic one, which was a great idea, I yeah. thought, right? You stick a magnetic
exactly.
one there, it
clicks
in instantly.
So if you're sat at your desk and you leave and your foot catches onto the cable,
yeah.
your $2,000 thing isn't going to get flung onto the floor and
Correct.
Smashed to pieces.
Correct.
So I really, I still use that MacBook now, and I don't have any problems with it. But like, that is the one thing I didn't understand. They reached this peak of the cable and they felt like they had to upgrade it. And I think it's less of a deal of making people buy adapters. I think it's more of a deal of just like feeling like they have to put enough change to make people want to buy it. I mean, that's also prominent in the touch bar. You know, everyone agrees that's completely pointless, the touch bar on the MacBooks.
Ooh.
Like, you've got a modern MacBook.
Absolutely.
How often do you use it?
Never. It's
Never.
Absolutely okay. useless.
And does it hinder
useless.
Your use of the computer?
No.
There you go.
It's just,
so,
you know,
it's just
stupid
there.
To
it's
be
a gimmick.
There.
It's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's a gizmo.
And I can't use my old charger from my old
exactly,
MacBook
exactly, exactly.
in this one.
But however, in the terms of... So you look at the lightning cable that they used starting at the iPhone 5, I think that is a massive improvement from the iPhone 4. You can't, like... Every now and then, I'll find my old iPad and I'll decide to charge it, see what I was up to when I was 13 years old. But like, plugging it in with these old cables, first of all, they can't go in one way. They were very fat. They were not practical to use. They easily broke. I think that changing to the lightning cable was something that was really good. It's so easy now. You don't have to like flip it and stuff like that. I think that's fine. Furthermore, I don't think that the dongle that comes with every iPhone, the adapter, for those that don't know, it's basically the adapter for the auxiliary to the lightning cable. I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think in order to influence change and in order to influence like advances in technology, you have to be brash. And like, a big step of that was removing the aux cable, the earphone slot. So I think there is
Was that the main reason that they?
Well, I mean,
they
think about it. Think
being,
about it. We spent the first
watertight.
Well, look, we spent. I mean, it obviously had a thing, but I don't think no, because our Samsung had.
No, but I thought that was one of the reasons why. Apple
it's
said.
One of the reasons, but like, it's not like a deciding factor. But like, we started this podcast talking about how like Apple were late improving stuff like the water resistance, like the wireless charging, like OLED displays, even bezel-less displays like we have on the iPhone 10. We've had that since 2016 with Android. So like, people like to complain about that, but then we see Apple are the first ones to remove the headphone jack and people still want to complain. Personally, I think this had to be done. I can't, like, try and imagine 2025. Can you still imagine, like, minus...
Am I still going to be around then?
No, but like, minus the last year where they've had, you know, go back to the time with the iPhone 6 and try and look forward into the futures. Could you still imagine people with wires coming from their ears to their phones? Could you still really see that? No, you expect everything to be wireless. It's so much more practical. But, like, you cannot simply make a phone wireless and expect it to, you know, expect everyone to habituate. That's how to make it easier. This little dongle is a way of making it easier for people to acclimatize, because obviously not everyone's going to be able to afford a pair of AirPods or any Bluetooth headphones straight away, or they might
I don't see many people being able to afford the latest flipping
I'm not
Apple. I just find it incredible.
I just think that, like, if Apple hadn't done it, Samsung would have done it first. Okay, I think that is a given, because there is no way we can progress in our technological future without having to remove cables, because they're a necessity, but if we had the choice of removing them, we would.
Fair play, but I think, you know, if you then take the decision that you can't plug in a sort of a historic generic connector, and, you know, the old sort of jack plug is something that's been around forever, and it's prevalent in our society, and you've just decided, okay, if you want an Apple, then you're not going to use this again, this technology again. That's okay. It may be a big bold step, but at the same time, it's really impractical for people that can't afford to constantly just throw away whatever they've invested in as a bunch of accessories, and suddenly buy a whole new set of accessories, especially when, you know, what's the cost of those AirPods?
£100
£130 or something, right? So it's like, you know, it's not everyday cost, and you can buy perfectly good Bluetooth headsets for a lot less than that.
But using your description, if you want to buy perfectly good Bluetooth headsets and you want perfectly good wired headsets, and you want those to last, chances are they're not going to last. Like, how many pairs of Apple earphones have you gone through? Because eventually they stop working in one ear, because the cable, you know, just by you walking, the cable's going to break. And that's not exclusive to Apple, that's with every pair of earphones, you know. And, like,
well,
I've
you
never
say that,
had
but I have earphones that just, they're wireless, but exactly, they have a wire between left and right.
Those will eventually break down, because the wire is ultimately just a thin piece of copper, and, like, the more, like, you move with those, the slightly less it breaks the bonds. I've got the AirPods, and I got them after my exams, and I 100% would not change them for the world, because I know for a fact that unless I want to upgrade them, if they make a better version or in the future or anything, but, like, unless I want to upgrade them, I could potentially have this same pair of AirPods for the next 5 years on the basis I don't lose them, because the only thing that broke that made me buy new earphones was the cable breaking.
So, and I remember you didn't buy that many. You used to nick them from me, basically.
Yeah, okay, well, they were bought at the base.
By someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, so if I am to pay, I don't know, £30 2-3 times a year, or have one pair that you're keeping and you're not worried about them breaking, it's absolutely fine. Like, and it's also ease of use. I was at the gym this morning doing squats. I can't squat with my phone in my pocket, otherwise it's going to fall. Same with my deadlifts. Well, I have my phone sat next to my water bottle. I've got my earphones in. I can listen to my music. I can do my stuff. I can clean my room without, you know, having to have my phone on me.
Good lord.
You know, it's like, it's ease of use. I think it's honestly the best move Apple could have done to take away the headphone jack. And I think for the people that disagree, in 2 years, everyone's going to agree. In 2 years, because everyone would have switched. And those people that had their appliances and now they've got to buy adapters, yeah, those adapters cost £15. And if that's a massive problem, if £15 is a massive problem to you, then why are you buying a $2,000 iPhone?
Fair point. So, look, I mean, what do you think's next then? What don't they have in the phone before we start looking at a couple of other products of Apple?
I think there's a lot that's not in the phone yet. I think Siri is garbage.
It is. Siri is awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful.
I mean, it's, for me, I like Siri when I'm doing, like, stuff inside the phone, if you know what I mean, to do with the Apple made apps, for example, Siri set a reminder or Siri set an alarm, stuff like that, very simple stuff. But that was prominent from the iPhone 4S onwards. I would have expected it from now on to be, first of all, better at recognizing my voice when I'm not talking about generic Apple sayings like alarm, but instead I'm saying, Siri, what was the, I don't know, any random searches that I want on the internet. And also, when you have an Alexa, for example, you talk to Alexa and she'll actually read out the searches to you.
Mm.
The whole point of having the Hey Siri function on your phones is that you literally don't have to have your phone on you. You don't need to be looking at your phone screen, because then it would talk back to you. But if I'm going to say, what's the definition of this word, or I want to search something up on Google through Siri, she'll load up, and then Siri will say, oh yeah, these are some results I found for you. So, all right, well, thanks. Now I've got to come to my phone. I might as well have just typed it in.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's a good point. So you still have to be looking at the screen.
Exactly. Like it's once again these pointless gizmos that give Apple an excuse to put another £50 onto the price, and then you list up all these gizmos they accumulate, and all of a sudden you've increased the price by £500.
So yeah, if you look at the Amazon products, you've had the Amazon Echo and the Dot and stuff, and then they have the screen, right? Now they have an Amazon screen.
The Kindles.
Effectively for home automation. So it's an Echo, but it's actually got a screen with it as well. So they're moving. They're kind of encroaching into that space. But what Amazon does with Alexa is it will, because it's started from a base where there was no screen, it actually gives you more information when you ask the question.
On Saturday, October 6th. Well, just as we're big enough, Alexa, she comes and gives us the scores about
Alexa,
Major League Baseball.
Stop. Right. So obviously, the recognition of both our phones here is not good enough to pick up the word Siri on a regular basis, but certainly...
Well, to be fair, you have to say, hey, Siri. So,
well, okay, yeah. Well, we said that a few times, but anyway, our friend over in the corner there just kicked in when we started talking.
But she did think we were talking about Major League Baseball scores.
That's true. So clearly not on the money.
Yeah.
But look, you know, coming from a position where there was no screen, basically, from the Alexa side of things, then effectively they've come into it from a much more rich, you know, sort of descriptive language of their response when you ask something. Whereas, as you say, on Siri, it basically says, here's what I found.
Yes.
And so you've got to go back to your phone and look at it. That's a really interesting point. So how do they fix that then? They just basically... What does Apple buy Amazon then?
Even a deal of buying Amazon. I mean, look.
Well, it'd be a tough one even for them.
Yeah, exactly. But like, when you look at it, like, it's clear the technology is here. Okay, Alexa's been out for what, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to the standard that it's at now, you know, it's been at this standard for about 2 years. Siri has been out since the iPhone 4S.
Yeah.
Which is what, 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do not tell me Apple do not have the resources or the brains to make the best voice recognition in the world. In fact, I'm actually going to go back on that comment. Not the best, just one that's up to par with the quality of what's been going on with both Samsung and Amazon, etc., for the last two, three years.
Yeah,
it's not difficult.
So you, basically, would you say then that Apple is kind of, it's failing its potential user base because it's kind of hooked them in a number of ways, right?
Yeah.
You're getting into iCloud and, you know, with the supposed ease of connecting your phone with your tablet, with your laptop, with your TV, with all these things. But once you're in there, it's really hard to get out. And then they've almost sat on their laurels with certain things. I mean, we have home automation in a big way, and we don't use Apple in that, except for Apple TV, of course.
Yep.
I feel that it's really a club that you wish you never. As I said at the beginning, it's like a gang that you wish you never joined.
Well, to be honest, like I think it's true to an extent. However, I'm gonna play devil's advocate, and I'm just gonna paint something else into light. Every brand is trying to do this. There is no brand who is going to be like, oh yeah, I'm happy with our enemies having this, but I want to make sure they, you know, I want to make sure I control the laptop market, but whatever, they can have the phones. Every brand wants to have a phone that can connect with their laptop, that can connect with their home system, that can connect to their speakers, to their headphones, to their TV, and every brand wants to create their own nest. Apple caught on early, like real early, much earlier than Samsung, Amazon, everyone else. So that's why they've been going on for the longest. The only issue that I see is that Apple have kind of shifted morals. Apple have gone from, you know, seeing what the best thing they can do with all their resources available to them, as I was saying before, peak Jobs era, to a post Jobs era where it's more like, how can we make as much money as possible, probably with as little effort as possible? And that's the issue I find. I'm absolutely 100% comfortable with being entangled in this web of Apple products. If all of those products, they don't even have to be the best on the market, but if all of those products are up to par with what my mate's using, or you know, my neighbor's using, you know, I'm fine with being, you know, I'm fine with being like almost controlled into feeling I have to get, if I want a new phone, I have to get another iPhone. I'm fine with that as long as they're good.
So are you saying they are, in your opinion, or they're not to that point?
What, the phones or in general?
Well, I guess in general.
I think in general it's very inconsistent. You look at Apple TV. Apple TV is the best TV system, in my opinion. You've got Chromecast, but obviously that's only exclusive to Chrome. And then, you know, the fact that I can't even list anymore kind of shows how unpopular the others are.
But also Apple TV only works, you know, you've got to buy the Apple unit you've got to be on an Apple to
Chromecast,
to use it,
Chromecast is by Google. You've got to have Chrome. You've got to download Chrome. Same principle. So I think stuff like Apple TV, absolutely love it. The AirPods, I think they're honestly the best wireless earphones on the market, and they have been for the last year. I think the kind of differences...
Where do you think the iPad sits now then? Because they messed around with the size of the iPad. Whoa. They started with a sort of a, I don't know, what do they call it, sort of A5-ish, and then they...
They started on A4, I'd say. I'd say A4. I mean, the screen size...
No, but the original iPad was about that big, right? It was A5. And then they made an A4 size. The later one was an A4. And now with the size of these Macs, you know, phones, do you really think that the iPad has a future? Other than the fact that the one thing I do like about it is you can connect it into a keyboard. So you can like flip it up and turn it into a laptop. But if you've got a really decent MacBook Air, you know, it's not much bigger than an iPad anyway.
Well, to be honest,
and you've got a proper computer then.
Something that I find funny is that when the iPad Pro came out, everyone, including myself, was like, this is so stupid. You know, it's a massive screen. Mm. It goes against what the principles of the iPad is. But what I think now is that I think the principles of the iPad, which were given to us at the start of when the iPad 1 came out, they were wrong, the principles. And I think they've changed. So... people assume that the principle of the iPad was kind of to have a computer that was portable. So portability was like a main factor, but having a bigger screen than a phone was also the main factor, you know, to kind of maximize the potential of both a computer and a phone and kind of get the best of both worlds, you know. However, I think that as time has gone on, Apple has made their phones bigger, and they've realized having an iPad, especially like the iPad minis, they've kind of made it redundant. However, having the iPad Pro, now I see it as such a cool thing because it's a big screen and it's easy to use. So if I wouldn't spend the money on an iPad Pro, mainly because I'm not a trillionaire, but if I had like money to throw about, I would 100% get an iPad Pro along with my MacBook. Because when I have my MacBook, I'm there to really like write essays for school. I'm there to be typing, you know, I'm there. It's a proper workstation. However, when I have this big iPad, which is actually bigger than the screen of my MacBook Air, I'm there. It's easy. You know, it's, you use your hands. It's simple to use. And that's what I would go on Facebook with, or that's what I would go on YouTube on, or Netflix.
So it's a glorified toy then.
It's. I don't think it. I think that's kind of putting it in a. I think it's. It's literally a maximized iPhone without the cooling. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. Because when you're, let's say you're laying in bed and you want to watch some Netflix, yeah? And not all of us have a TV at the foot of our bed like you, Dad, so we've got to make do with our own devices. So either you use your phone, which is really easy to use because you've got it in your hands, you can quickly type, you can quickly tap here, you don't have to be tracking with your finger, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it is. Subconsciously, it is an effort. But then the drawback of that, obviously, is a smaller screen. With the computer, you've got the big screen, then you've got the... You know, for me, I lay down with my computer resting on my chest at like a 90-degree angle, kind of with the triple chin kind of movement, you know, with my hands there, and it's not the most comfortable position, but it's the best you can do because you can't really, like, just hold a laptop, no matter how light it is. You don't really want to be holding it above your head. So I think the iPad Pro, for example, is the best like compromise. Maybe they can make it a bit smaller, but like honestly, I think it's so smart, and I just think it was ahead of its time when it first came out, which is why it got so much bad press reactions. And if it came out now, or maybe if it came out next year, if that was the first time it came out, I think it would be much more praised than it was. Criticised, I guess.
So do you use a lot of apps? I mean, I've got quite a lot of apps on my phone and on my iPad, and you know, I find generally they're very useful. And I remember when apps started to come out.
Yeah.
So pre-apps, right? So they weren't a thing. And when they started to come out, I thought, well, why on earth would I want them? Why don't I just jump on the page? You know, go straight to Google, jump on the website. Why do I want a BA app if I can go to BA.com and just go straight onto that and all the functionality? But actually, it's really useful.
It's really
extremely useful just to hit that, and you're straight in, and it's got all your profile ready to rock and those whole things. So that the concept of having this app store, do you buy apps or do you just take the free ones?
To be honest, I only take free apps because, I mean, all the best social networking apps are free.
Well, when we talk about free,
Well,
it's free at the point of receipt of the app, right? But
yeah,
obviously pay in different ways.
Well, yeah, you get the ads and stuff like that. But like, ultimately, that is a free app. And then there's the principle of games. And I feel like that is the only time I'd ever consider buying an app if I wanted a game. But like, I've only ever bought an app once in my life because I wanted to download a rugby game. But like, other than that, like, can you really envision yourself paying money for something that's so simple to make? Like, I watched a guy, a coder, who made one of the very first it's these platform based games that are the most popular on the App Store, the ones in the arcade section, on the game section, and he said it took him 30 minutes to come up with the base coding of the game. And then after that, he was just polishing it off, making it look pretty. And this game became number one for about a month in the App Store when it first came out. Like, it's very easy. And you're going to pay for that? Like, the only time I'd consider it is if they're, like, literally riddling me with ads. But by then, I've probably deleted the game already because I don't respect the developer, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. So talk to me about listening on Apple then. So what about music on Apple?
Well, to be honest, like, Apple Music is the second most... I don't know if it's second most, but Apple Music is in the top two music streaming apps or websites in the world. It's obviously them or Spotify. And I personally prefer Spotify just because I started using it before. And a lot of my friends have Apple Music, and I see how they use it. And the interface for me just doesn't fit me, but like, I can see why people would enjoy it.
I guess also this podcast, though, probably a lot of people are listening to this on Apple, right? I mean, Apple is a big platform for podcasts as well. And I guess, you know, the more stuff we do rather than just using a device as a sort of a pure interface, the more stuff we do that interacts with Apple, I guess that opens us up a little bit to security issues as well, doesn't it?
Yep.
And you know, I've heard a few things lately about, you know, Apple and security, and you know, what have you heard in that area?
Well, I mean, obviously you had like recently you had the China hacks. So allegedly, I'm gonna have to say allegedly, is that the Chinese government were hacking the servers, putting chips, in the servers specifically of Amazon and Apple and other like smaller companies, and basically this was kind of more to like benefit the Chinese brands, because obviously then they're going to work off the information given to them from Apple, and Apple have obviously gone to refute these claims. But
well, I must admit, I got some business in China, and I went over to China recently, and my MacBook, which I foolishly connected even through a VPN in the hotel, as and you know, the whole point with Mac, one of the reasons I converted was I was convinced
lack of viruses
that it couldn't have a virus and it has got viruses now. I had to clean it all up again, so it seems that even on that side, Apple is now suffering, as was everyone else at the time, through getting hacked. So I guess you know, we just have to be aware of the risks and stuff like that, but I think generally what we've established then is Apple is average. It's a gang that you can't possibly get out of, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Some things are okay in it, some things aren't. They need to be a little bit of...
I think some things are great in it. I got to go back to the AirPods. The AirPods, I know right now the conversation has nothing to do with them, but I can't express how good the AirPods are, and I really thought they were a gimmick. I thought they were another... you know, Apple Touch Bar gimmick, but they are, honest to God, so good.
Well, listen, you know, I'd love to hear what everyone else's is opinions are about this, and if you want to tweet your opinions on Apple or anything else to do with this sort of technology, you can tweet it out with the hashtag Apple Picking, and we'd love to listen to those stories, and hopefully we'll come back to that in a later episode. But in the meantime, of course, I would like to thank my darling young son Nelson for his contribution, and look forward to welcoming you to episode 3 in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.